For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. This quick commercial, guys, is brought to you by Huawei Technologies. Huawei Technologies is a tech firm that develops small to medium-sized websites for businesses. So if you need a website, reach out to Huawei Technologies. They can be reached at huaweitech.com or shoot them an email at info@huaweitech.com. Thank you, Huawei Technologies, for sponsoring this episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Women in Tech with Ariana. It's your favorite host, me, Ariana, of course. Today, guys, we have a super special guest, Lisa Ang. Lisa is the CEO and founder of Mentally VR, and we are so excited to have her on the show talk about her experience as an entrepreneur and her experience through tech. So Lisa, we are so glad to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So Lisa, let's start from the beginning. You know, where are you originally from and currently based?
So I'm from the Dominican Republic. I was born and raised there. It's funny because I am Chinese, like my parents are Chinese. So I get people confused. Yeah, so it's really funny because when I talk to people can hear my accent. So yeah, you have to explain that I'm from the Dominican Republic, that I was born and raised there. And I am currently in Toronto, Canada.
You know, I love Toronto. My husband and I went to Toronto. When was this? Maybe 2 or 3 years. And I think me and you, we had this conversation when we met at the Forbes 30 Under 30 last year. But we had such a blast there. Toronto is such a beautiful, diverse city. Where did we stay? I can't even remember. We were in an Airbnb. But it was such a great time. And we went to, was it the hockey team or something that you guys have downtown near like the water? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. They have hockey team. They have like basketball team too. The Raptors, they won last year. So that was like a big thing here. So yeah, it's very diverse and the food is amazing.
The food is great. Oh my gosh. The food is amazing. Yes, it is. We went and actually it was during the time, like there was like a, like the Canadian, like it was a, what was it? The Canadian, I don't even remember. It was some festivals going on. It was, it was like a Jamaican festival, Caribbean Fest. That's what it was, Caribbean Fest. And we had such a good time. It was a blast. We was just out there with strangers and yeah, it was a blast. Yeah. But so Lisa, let's talk about, you know, what has been your journey throughout technology? You starting from your earliest memory of when you were exposed to tech.
So I remember the first thing that I got, was TV. That was the first tech that I got exposed to. But the first computer that we had was one that my dad came. He came like with his friend and he brought like all these boxes and another screen. And I was so weird out about it. I was like about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I remember that when my dad installed it with his friend, we were all fighting for that computer. But yeah, like I remember, I didn't really use them much because I'm like the youngest of 3 sisters. So my older sister was the one that was most of the time on the computer. But yeah, that was the first exposure that I had to technology and a computer, and like learning how to download music was like different. We used to use Ares at the time. I don't know if you guys like use that, but like that's what I used. And it took like a whole day. Like for you to download one song and you couldn't be interrupted because it was dial-up. So every time somebody called and the song would get interrupted and then you had to re-download everything again. It was like crazy. But yeah, that was the first exposure for me.
Isn't it crazy when you think back, like back in the day of like what we used to have to do, like the how long we had to wait for dial-up and using LimeWire to get music and all this stuff. It's just... Man, looking back, I'm like, wow, we were patient back then.
I know. And now we can't even like a second of delay. And then we're like, oh my God, what is going on? But before it was like, yeah, you had to wait like 10, 15 minutes and you were okay with it. Like, because that's how it was.
So Lisa, let's get into, you know, you're the founder of Mentally VR. Can you tell us this? Can you first off tell our listeners what Mentally VR is? Let's start from there.
Sure. Mentally VR is a it's a virtual reality for mental health platform where we bring patients into a 360 environment where they feel at peace. And when they feel comfortable and they feel distressed, then they get to talk to a psychotherapist while staying anonymous.
That is so amazing. And so guys, so Lisa and I met back at we mentioned this a couple seconds ago, but we met back at Forbes 30 Under 30 in Detroit last year. So both of our startups were competing for to get funding. And Lisa, so I went to her station because I was walking around, wanted to get some connecting, and we hit it off because first off, her energy is amazing. You guys will get that in a couple. Just keep listening. Yours is amazing. Look, Lisa, let's not even get on it. Well, you know how we are. We have a blast, but. No, I saw folks who were at Lisa's table. They were looking at her technology, looking at Mentally VR, and they put on this headset. And I went to her and I said, can I put this on? And you guys, it is the crate. When she talks about a real 360 experience is what you said, 360 experience. It truly is. And it's the most relaxing. Now this was a high paced stressed environment, right? We're talking thousands of people are here. We're here to pitch for what was it? $250,000 is what it was going for. And it was a lot going on. And when I put her headset on, literally immediately, I felt a shift in my shoulders and my body. Like I felt so relaxed. And then when you explained how this is how, because isn't that how it works? Like folks can do like consultations with doctors and stuff like that. Could you kind of walk us through, you know, what does that experience look like for a client?
Yeah, sure. So for psychotherapists, for example, like it works on two different, right? So it's like this is a platform for both professionals and patients. So doctors and psychotherapists, what they do is that they have an app on their phones where they can call in to the headset, and then the patient puts on the headset and they can see the environment and they can see their psychotherapist like with a little screen while they are into the environment. Like they are immersed, and just imagine that you're like on top of the mountain, right? And let's say that you started your session, and then when you're ready, then that's when you click on a button where you can like say, okay, I'm ready to talk to my psychotherapist. And then you are able to see like a little screen where your psychotherapist is going to be. But the thing is that the psychotherapist cannot see you. So the idea came as of the decision, the things that I want people to feel is that when you are by the fire on a campsite, and then you're like, you know, you're like into deep conversation, this kind of like meaningful conversation, and then you start talking about life and stuff, and then you're talking to a friend about it. But instead, you're actually talking to someone that is professional and that can actually help you.
So I didn't know that. So I don't think I knew that. So when I put the headphones on, right, like you said, let's say I choose that I want to be in the Bahamas on a beach or something, or on top of a mountain in a cool breeze and there's a lake behind me, because that's the one I was in and that one was amazing. So I'm out here on this mountain in this VR 360 experience, and then I can click a button, like you said, talk to my therapist. So, but the therapist can't see me. What was kind of the thought behind that? Is it just to kind of make the client feel more comfortable because they can't be seen, or, you know, what was the reasoning behind that?
So the reason I decided to go with VR was because, so Mentally VR, I can tell you a little bit on how everything started and my thought process with it. And it's because this is my passion with virtual reality and my own lived experience with mental health. So growing up, I always suffered from anxiety. And then I had depression when my dad suddenly passed away. And I remember that at the time, I didn't even know what mental health was. So to me, it was like, oh, you know, this is just a phase. I'm going to move on. But the thing is that I used to sleep more than 12 hours. Me being in high school, like I used to like, I barely passed school. And I will go to sleep at school and stuff like that. And I wouldn't eat. So when I grew up and I had my first son, I had postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I remember that I had to look into myself and say, I can't go to sleep more than 12 hours and not eat because a life depends on me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I finally admitted, okay, I have postpartum depression. And wow. Even though I knew I had it, I didn't want to look for help because wow. of the huge stigma. I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything. People are going to judge me. I am so afraid. And not just that, it was like, I also have social anxiety. So to me, to open up to people, to someone, and like go to like this clinic where I don't feel comfortable, like super tense. I was like, no, forget it. I'm not doing this. And then one day, I remember like back in 2015, I went to a place in Seattle. I visited Seattle and I went to this place. I don't remember the name of it, but I was like surrounded by mountains. And for the first time, Ariana, for the first time in so many years, I felt peace. I felt wow. so good. And, you know, like I just wanted to go back to that place yeah. after I went back to the city. So every day I remember that I will be like at the office and or go home and I'll be like, I wish I could just take a flight and go to Seattle and go to that place to feel that feel, like whatever I felt surrounded by the mountains. And then years passed, and then that's when I found out about virtual reality. Like I discovered the tech, and that's when it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, this, I can do a lot of things with this. So to be honest with you, I didn't really think about mental health at the time when I found out about virtual reality. Wow. However, I started to participate in competitions, and I participated at this Facebook virtual reality hackathon here yeah. in Toronto. And I remember that the theme was community. So we had to look for a solution that had to do with community with VR. At the time, I wanted to go to a group support for depression. But every time I would find an excuse, oh, I'm not going to, yeah, because, you know, like I didn't want to go to a one-on-one because it was like so weird for me. So I was like, what if I go to a group support? Maybe it's better. But every time I would chicken out. So I was like, this is VR would be perfect if we can have a platform where people can go into the VR space from home and they can have this group support. So that's how everything started. So then I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, how can we help people to feel this stress and feel, you know, comfortable to talking about, you know, and being vulnerable, like talking about their deepest, you know, traumas and stuff like that and help them? What can we do? And then I was like, nature. And that's when it came, like, I remember, like, the mountains and stuff. So basically, all of this, like, mentally VR is more what I wish I had when I was at my lowest point.
Yeah. Wow. This is...
Oh, yeah. I know. It's a long story.
That's a powerful... No. That's a powerful, very relatable story, right? And especially, you know, I like what you talked about in the beginning where, you know, it was very hard for you to admit. And especially, like... You know, if you're in, you know, a super uptight industry like technology or just a professional in general, entrepreneur or whatever, you got a lot going on. And then there's the intersectionality of being a woman in these fields, mm-hmm. plus a mom in these fields, right? And so all of these stressors. And then, you know, you just had to get to the point where you were like, hey, no, like I'm struggling with postpartum and how mm-hmm. do I fix that? And I love that you kept asking the question of, you know, because you could have stopped right there. You could have stopped yeah. when you went to the group, right? Where you were trying to get to the group sessions, and then mm-hmm. you decided to, you know, go home and try to figure out. But the cool thing about you is that you pressed forward. You were like, well, no, like, what is the solution? How can I truly help myself? And a lot of people get stuck in that moment, you know?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, because sometimes you feel stuck, right? And especially during depression, you don't really see like the light at the end of the tunnel. You feel stuck and you feel like you feel helpless. Right. So I don't know, like this, I guess it was meant to be, right? Like I really, really liked virtual reality and the powers and the things that it can do for people. So I really believe in it. So that's why I push for it.
So Lisa, you know, you're giving a lot of good advice here. And I think that, you know, the beauty of all this is, you know, your experience, you you've experienced this problem on a very personal level, right? Mm-hmm. And you found a way to create a space where folks who are, you know, trying to better their mental health can have this opportunity through a VR experience. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what are some practical tips that you can give to our listeners who have, you know, busy and stressful careers in tech? You know, what are ways that we can help our mental health?
I think the most important thing is to be kind to mm-hmm. yourself. That's the first thing you have to do. It's the self-love. And then from there, you're really going to see what the priorities these are. Like, everybody have busy schedules. And, you know, sometimes, like, I know, and I'm saying this not because everybody does it, but it's something that happened to me, is that I will say yes to everything, and mm-hmm. I couldn't say no. And, you know, it's important that we learn how to say no. But for that to happen, we have to first be, we have to have that self-love, right? Like, we have to say, okay, is this something that I'm going to be okay with? Like, can I say yes to this? I'm going to be okay with it. And then you're like, okay. And then you know your priorities. So let's say that you have, like, your super busy schedule and there's nothing you can do about it. Is to, again, prioritize your self-care. Is meditation. So the first thing that I do in the morning is to meditate. I do meditations. I do self-affirmations. I do a lot of journaling. And I think that has helped me a lot with managing stress and also situations. For me, something that I want to say that probably not a lot of people know, because I didn't know as well, is that, you know, meditation is not only nothing about anything. Right. There's another type of meditation in which you actually think about your emotions, and you think about how you feel in different scenarios that had happened before that brings a different emotion in you. So let's say it could have been a situation where you were at work and somehow somebody said something about a project, and that an emotion happened inside you, and then you want to wonder why you felt that way. And if you reacted in a way that you didn't like, then what would be a best way to react next time? And I think that helps a lot of, like, stress management and also, like, dealing with people, right? Like, I feel like we have to know how to react to different situations, and that helps with the overall stressful and, you know, being more happy when that happens, right? If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes complete sense. And, you know, this is a good segue into, you know, I'm curious to learn more about, okay, so there's this, you know, mental health experience that you have, right? And you're doing mm-hmm. your research and you're understanding, you're getting things together, you know. So I'm curious, what has been your experience with beta testing for Mentally VR and actually getting, you know, product feedback in front of customers and investors or whatever the audience, it doesn't really matter which audience you kind of want to talk about, but what has been your experience so far with beta testing for Mentally VR?
So for me, beta testing has been just talking to a lot of, like, my target customers. So first it was me talking about my idea and seeing what people think about it and if people had any questions or feedback. And then I will actually bring Mentally VR to different events. So any tech events, like, you know, any meetups, I will bring the product, and then I will tell people that I met about it, like about the problem, and then I will tell them about the solution that I had, and the people will give me a feedback based on the things that I was trying to achieve and stuff like that. That's basically what I did, is talking to people and going to events and showing the product to different people and also asking questions, basically.
That's really good. And, you know, because I get a lot of questions from folks about, you know, how do I find my customer? You know, I'm trying to find them, and, you know, I want to get the product in front of the right people. And that is so important, and especially in the tech space, but even more so in the VR space, because, you know, virtual reality is still a very taboo. Well, and you're in Canada. I don't know how it is there. So that maybe that's a question I should ask you, but
was that cut off? Say that again.
Oh, no problem. Let me repeat what I was saying. Sorry, I had a quick burp. Oof, that was random. But so Cece will edit all this. That's my producer. So hey, Cece, I know you're listening to this right now. So she's great. Oh, so what were we talking about? Oh, the beta testing. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, Lisa, you know, you talk about, you know, customer, right? And finding the good customer, and, you know, getting mentally VR out in front of the right group of people. What advice can you give our listeners about, you know, how they're trying to find their customer? Because even in the, it's very important to find your customer in any industry. It doesn't matter, period. But it's very unique in the tech space, but it's super niche in the VR space because VR is still kind of taboo in most places. I know in the States it's here, you know, like AKA most people don't really know much about it. They don't understand how it works, you know. So, you know, what are some strategies or advice that you can give our listeners on finding their right customer?
Sure. So for me, it was really tricky. To be honest with you, like you know, me being new in entrepreneurship and not having much guidance, that was very tricky for me. However, what I did is that I started looking for, you know, first it was like, okay, this is a problem that I'm having that I want to solve, which is people don't want to look for help because there's a stigma around it. So that goes for every age, everyone, basically literally everyone. So I was like, okay, so who are the people that need it the most right now? Okay, so that will be like students in college that, you know, are going through exams and a lot of stress. And then there's people that are working in corporate. So after that, I was like, okay, these two. So now who are the people that actually will be able to like to start, right? Like that is going to be like, who is the customer that is like that I can reach out the fastest as this like at this point, like what would it make sense? And to me, it ended up being like the people that work in corporate. So if I went like for through like the HR human resources plans and have like you know companies like Accenture and Shopify, like they're investing a lot of money in mental health, for example. Like they have like these rooms in their companies where people can go and meditate. So it will be something like, okay, we'll bring like a VR headset so you can have it at the office and then you can have your sessions there. Or it could be through their benefits plan and say, okay, I would like to get a VR headset because I'm going to start having my therapy at home and stuff like that. So that's how I did it. That's how I went with it. So yeah, that's how I did
That's
it.
really cool. No, I love it. And it's very practical. And you know, it helps people to kind of think of their process of how they're going to be looking at their customer. And you know, Lisa, I'm just thinking about this, but especially as you talk about the corporate world, but your company is so cool too because you know, people can experience this from home, and this is what people, companies right now more than ever, are really going to be investing in mental health even more because, you know, their workers are at home. So this is a great time, right, for mentally VR. And I know you're doing your networking and connecting and stuff there in Canada and here in the States, and I'm sure other countries as well. But, you know, I just think that what a time to be in an industry, even though VR is still a little bit early. So I'm curious to know, like, you know, let's say COVID. Hopefully not last another 2 3 years, not 2 3 years, but let's say it lasts for another year. That's not, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you, but you know, I'm just curious to see how mental VR can play a part in that, and you know, in the new normal. Like that would be really cool to see.
So, you know, something that I had noticed is that there's a lot of like you said, right? Because of COVID and people being at home all the time, I saw a lot of virtual reality companies booming. And you know, like there was a so because I'm a lead for the Facebook developer circles here in Toronto as well. Like we were talking between everybody how Oculus headsets were sold out. There were
Whoa.
people trying to buy and being on the wait list. And
Really?
literally, yes, 100%. So everybody was trying to buy it. And even like Mark Zuckerberg, he was talking about how Oculus was being like, they were flying off the shelf, but they were like working really hard on bringing more and more. So this is like definitely like a great time to do it because people are using it also, not like I'm doing it for mental health, right? But people are doing it for work, like design thinking, like where people go into like a room where they are like at the office and they get to be like on a whiteboard and they all collaborate together like they are in the same room. And not only that, there's people also that are doing, for example, like they have the computers in front of them.
Right.
So like this computer desktop screens. Yeah. So they have that as well. So, you know, yeah, definitely like this is a great time for mentally VR to be, you know, in the space, because people are not only going to use it for, you know, office or, you know, collaborate, they also can use it for their mental health.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Lisa, I'm curious to know, because I know here in the States, right, VR is it's still a bit of a buzzword, right? Like people understand from a virtual, like, you know, from a Sims, the video game perspective of what VR is. But, you know, do you often find yourself running into challenges of kind of explaining to people, you know, the importance of VR and how it is, you know, applicable to today's society, like as in currently in 2020? Or do you feel like most folks are still kind of like, well, you know, I see VR in 10, 15 years, it's still a bit out there?
Mm. Oh, 100%. So people, there's a little bit of both. Yeah. So some people are still new to it. And some people are seeing VR as just like a gaming thing. Right. And, you know, like for them, to me, for like talking about mental health is already like awkward for some people.
Right.
But then talking about VR, they're like, there's a lot of things that I have to go through. So that would be the challenge, is that I'm not talking just about virtual reality, like it's a game. So people are like, oh, okay, I know about that. Blatsy. It's like, okay, so I'm doing virtual reality for mental health. And they're like, okay, what? Like, what does that mean? Like, what happens in there? And yeah, you know, I get a lot of questions in terms of like, how does, you know, psychotherapists can see the body language and whatnot. And, you know, like, those are like the little challenges that I have to work on and, you know, look into. And the thing is that the answer to that, though, about like the, you know, knowing about the body language, is that they, so right now in Canada, there is a lot of like phone lines for mental health,
yeah,
where people call in and they talk to different like people to help them. Nice. So if we think about it, we can use it as something like that. And I also am thinking about doing artificial intelligence. So I'm thinking about having like a voice recognition, like an emotion recognition. So we can provide that information to the psychotherapist so they can help better the person that is like on the other, like on the line with them.
Right.
So yeah, that will be like those different challenges that I have faced and the things that I have to explain. And yeah, there's like, this is really new. I'll be honest with you, like virtual reality is still being in development, and especially for mental health, like this, like right now, whoever is doing mental health and virtual reality, we are not competitors. We are collaborators.
Yes. I love that. We're not computers. We're collaborators. No, I love that, Lisa. So Lisa, you know, you're also the co-lead for Facebook Developer Circle in Toronto. Can you tell us about the work that you are doing and have done with the local technologists and the impact that you guys are making there?
Yeah, 100%. So first of all, so Facebook Developer Circle Toronto is a community, it's a tech community where people come together to learn, inspire, and motivate each other that is empowered by Facebook. So we bring everybody together and we provide the resources that either Facebook is giving and teach them about the new technology that is going on, even for other new tech. It doesn't have to be for Facebook. And sorry, I just lost the thought there. My bad. So yeah, like we come together and we basically have workshops and get together. We learn from each other and we have competitions where we get to network with other people. We get to work with other people. And even for jobs, like if there's somebody that's looking for jobs, like we are there to help them connect with other people that might have been looking for, you know, to hire. So, but my role there as a co-lead is to empower women. So it's to bring more women to participate in the tech, because I understand that, you know, you probably went through this as well, is that when I started in tech, I didn't really feel like I belonged there. I just felt like there was nobody that I could, like I just didn't see myself there. And, you know, even like for one thing that people told me when I started was like, Lisa, you should go to a lot of like networking events. And but when I see it, I didn't really feel welcome in and I felt very intimidated. So I didn't really go for the longest time. And so my job is to make the community more welcoming for women and really empower women that are in tech to, you know, give workshops and be speakers and talk about their stories. And, you know, because of this, we had like more than 50% participation increase in the community by women. Yeah. And I actually started the Women of Developer Circles for the North America region. So we had like the first event that it was just for women, where we would just talk about what are the things that we have to face, the challenges, and what are the things that other women are doing to help them. Because there was a lot of people too that were new into tech that were thinking about getting into web development and stuff like that. So they had a lot of questions. So it was really great, because they felt empowered. They were like, okay, so I guess this is for me, because I am here to find out if it's for me. And it was really nice to see that after we had that event, they were like, I am definitely doing this. I'm definitely going into tech.
That's so, you know, community is so important in this space. And that's literally why I tell people about, you know, it's one of the core reasons why I started this podcast, right? Is how do we make this accessible, and how do I show different types of people that you can have different pathways to get to where you want to be? You know, that's why I always start the show off with two of the most important questions, which is where you're originally from and currently based, and then what has been your journey throughout tech, because everyone has been exposed to it differently. And I love how you talked about how you've developed this, you know, community for the region. I mean, that's a big deal. And how many other women and folks will be inspired by your work because they see you and, you know, your team and what you guys are doing. So that's just amazing, Lisa.
No, thank you. And I love that you actually have this podcast, because I wish, like I said, like I wish I had this podcast like 3-4 years ago. Like I would have been so inspired, and I probably would have started way earlier. But I mean, things happen for a reason. But I just wanted to let you know with this that I love your podcast, and I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, no, Lisa, you are so dope. And you're amazing. Trust me, it's a blast to have you. You know, we have our good conversations on when we're not recording and when we are. So I'm so appreciative of you. But so now, Lisa, you know, you are a Hispanic mental health advocate. I really wanted to touch on that because that's a big deal. You know, and I want to know, you know, what are your goals and how you want to impact the future of mental health for the Hispanic community and for folks in general, but definitely for the Hispanic community? You know, what is it that we should be focused on in that area? You know, what is the future that you see, that you want to see for mental health in that community?
Sure. I actually want to see in the Hispanic community, as well as the Chinese, of course, because I feel like they're very similar, but I'm most Hispanic just because, you know, it's my first language and I can communicate better. But yeah, like my goal is for families to be able to be more open with each other. You know, I grew up in both cultures, and in both cultures is very, I don't want to say machista, but it is. It is like, oh, you shouldn't, like, men shouldn't cry. Don't run like a girl and stuff like that. And that makes, like, you know, like, it makes people to close off and not really connect with other people because of that. So my goal on this is for kids to be able to be more open about their emotion to their parents. And the thing is, like, I feel like some parents don't know how to do it because they were raised the same way. Right. Like, emotion is only for weak people. Depression is only for people that go to psychiatrists and need medication, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, it's like in another, like, it's another level, you know, like in terms of depression. And that they don't understand is that depression can happen, like a low-level depression can happen, and it should be treated. And it's funny that we're talking about this, because I just saw this post that someone posted about Michelle Obama, that she said that she is going through low-level depression. Wow. And I'm like, yes, like, we need more of that. And, you know, instead of saying like, oh, you know, this is just a phase, it's going to go away, are we actually making it worse by not talking about it and just keeping all these traumas in there? So yeah, that's my goal, is to bring awareness so people know about it, people can actually work on it. And, you know, I just want to have like a more open, more connection, more human, you know, society. That's, yeah, that was my goal.
That's so great. And, you know, it's interesting. So, and I'll touch on this from a personal perspective, but
yeah, sure.
As we're mentioning this, but
I grew up too, right? Where it was kind of, the culture is like, oh, like, you know, just pray about it. Or, you know, it's, you know, mental health isn't a problem. You know, you just need to, you know, like you said, suck it up basically, right? And just kind of keep pushing, and, you know, you kind of push it under the rug. Which is just isn't good, right? Because then you suppress all these emotions and these thoughts. And I can be honest and say, it wasn't until recently, I think it was last October, I had this moment with my co-founders. And I kind of had this moment where I kind of blew up a little bit. And I realized, like, okay, wait a minute. Where is this coming from, right? Like, where is this bottled emotion, bottled thoughts? Why do I process things like this? And why do I communicate like this when I'm very stressful in moments, and especially with other people? And this goes back to what you said earlier about being kind to yourself, because I realized that, okay, I'm treating other people like this because I'm treating myself in a way that isn't even right and correct. And so for the first time in my life, I actually started therapy last December, and it completely, let me tell you, I went to one session. I'm talking, you know, it was 45 minute sessions, what I do with my therapist now. And it, that one session, and everyone doesn't have this experience, but that one session for me was transformative. She said, you know, it's so good to just to sit down and talk to someone. Now, it's going to be even better during coronavirus when I can eventually hit up a Mentally VR headset. You know, I'm talking to her, you know, I'm in Seattle in the mountains or in the Bahamas, you know, cooling it with my margarita, or maybe not a margarita, but, you know, you get right in my little 360 experience. But, you know, it's just so important. And, I just want you to know that, you know, the work that you're doing in this space is very, very important. And this audience right now, who the folks, the women who are listening to this show, a lot of them, they own businesses. A lot of them, they're moms. A lot of them, they're in the corporate world. They're CEOs and executives. They're getting into the industry. You know, they're doing five. They have like, you know, 7-10 different talents trying to manage it all. And so what you're doing is really making a big impact. And so, you know, you sharing your story with us is just a big deal. But, you know, Lisa, you know, if you could go back in a time, you know, back in time a year ago, and if you could give yourself tangible steps and advice in regards to launching, you know, an early stage tech startup or business in general, what would it be? What would you tell yourself? And maybe not a year ago, but if you can go back to the beginning, essentially, like back when you first started.
So I would say is to first focus on what the problem is. I focus too much on the technology, because I really love it. Like I believe in VR, virtual reality, 100%. However, I think that the best way to approach to anything, and if you want to start a business or like a tech startup, the best thing to do is to think about the problem and work around that problem. And I think also get a mentor, find someone that can guide you into how to go about it. I think that a lot of the things that, because, you know, like I started with the tech first. I started with tech. Oh, I love VR. And lucky for me, it worked out, right? Like I got into Forbes under 30 for a reason. Yes. But I think that that doesn't work for everybody, right? So, you know, I'm just trying to be real here, like focus on the solution, like on the problem, and they would find whatever that you can to solve that problem. And then look into, you know, again, like the market research, talk to people, talk to as many people as possible about the problem that you have and what do they think about that problem and how do they see this, how can this can be solved, and then, you know, be open-minded about it and, you know, work it out and see, you know, transform it, like transform your idea. So like me, right? Like I started first with this being like a group support, and now is a one-on-one with psychotherapist. Yeah, I hope that.
So, Lisa, we're at our last question, and I like to ask all of our guests this, but what is one tangible resource that you can share with our listeners today?
So first, of course, you can actually go into mentalityvr.com website for the newsletters, that you can sign up for the newsletter so you can actually get updates on what we're working on. And I actually wanted to talk about two books that I recently got. And one of them is, it was recommended by a really good friend of mine that is also working in the mental health space, but in a different way. He actually brings people for retreat, and they do like different type of therapy, like for a week. And the other one, it was through TikTok. So the first one that my friend told me is Mental and Emotional Release. So this one, I started reading it, and so far what I have learned is, I mean, we don't have to talk about too much about it, but basically it's telling you that the way on how you want to release about your past traumas is not by reliving them, but to actually moving on quicker from it. So you know how you move faster, like, you know, when you're having a great day and something happens that causes you anger. It could be anything, right? Like, you change so quickly from having a good day to being angry. Yeah. So and Mental and Emotional Release talks about how you can actually do the opposite. So if you are going into sadness, how can you change, have like that little mental switch and go to be okay again?
Right.
And then the other one, which is from TikTok, is called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And I haven't started reading about this one, but I wanted to read it because they talk about, remember when we talk about being kind to ourselves?
Right.
It's about that. They talk about improving your self-image. Here it says, learn to use your positive past, set and achieve worldwide goals, development and compassion and stuff like that. So, you know, even though I started working on that last year, I think I wanted to read this because it's more, I guess it can give me more information about it. And, you know, why not improve?
Right. No.
No, those are two good books. I think I'm going to add those books to my, definitely add those two books to my reading list for this summer / fall. Yeah, because those are very helpful. But Lisa, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You know, again, I know I've said this like probably 3-4 times already, but the impact that you're making is, it's a big deal. And folks, I think definitely due to, you know, quarantine and everything, people are really going to be more in tune with themselves and looking for more opportunities. So we're excited to see, you know, the bigger launch of Mentally VR and to see it in consumers all over the world. So, you know, from Canada to US, we're here to support you. So I just appreciate you.
No, thank you so much for having me here. I think it's been such an honor. You know, I feel so lucky that I met you because, you know, I follow you on social media, and every time I see you doing something, I'm like, I'm a hype girl. I'm like, whoop, yes, girl, go get it. And I'm like super happy. I get super inspired always, and I get so motivated. So I'm so glad that I met you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
Thank you, Lisa. You're the best. And tell people where they can follow you. Where would you like people to follow you on social media?
Yeah, of course. They can actually find me on LinkedIn as Lisa NG. They can find me on Instagram, Facebook as Lisa NG S _, or go to my website, which is www.lisaNG.com. And I talk a lot about mental health. So, you know, hopefully, like if they see my posts or whatnot, it can help them somehow.
Well, thank you, Lisa, so much for your time. You guys, we'll make sure that we are going to plug, we will post Lisa's information and stuff on our social media pages as well. And then they'll also be on our website at walwaytech.com/podcast resources. You can see the links and stuff on our website, walwaytech.com/podcast. And we'll have Lisa's links there to all her social media and the two books We'll have links to that so that way you can directly go and purchase those as well. So Lisa, thank you so much for your time. Again, it was an honor to have you on the show, and we will chat again soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Right, take care. All right. Thanks. And you guys, this is Ariana Waller, your favorite podcast host, signing out. I'll talk to you guys next week.